What is going on, Diesel Nation? We're excited to have you guys with us today on the Diesel Podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube and aren't subscribed, make sure and hit the subscribe button, turn on notifications. Let us know what you think of the episodes. If you have more questions, if you'd like to have us have the guests back on to maybe answer some different things, or just want to let us know about a topic or really anything that you'd like to have on the podcast. We love seeing your guys' comments, thoughts on episodes on YouTube, and it helps a lot with either people who are new to Diesel, or they're searching for a particular topic to be able to find our guest in these episodes that we're doing to be able to help people with their Cummins, Duramax, or Powerstroke. On today's episode, a listener had messaged in and said, "Hey, I've been listening, you know, to your emissions episodes, and I'd like to be on to share my thoughts as a diesel enthusiast." So his name is Shelton, and he's going to be joining us today to talk about what he thinks as an enthusiast, someone who has been around diesels for a while, with all that's going on, whether it's the Clean Air Act, carb testing, federal testing for parts, his thoughts on why this is happening. So one of the things that we want to do with this topic is have as many different perspectives as possible. And I've seen on the comments on these episodes, a lot of, I wouldn't say disagreement, but different perspectives on it. And we want to make sure that as we're covering this, we're having as many different perspectives as possible so we can understand how an enthusiast may feel, how a company may feel, how what a lawyer may think about the process. So we enjoy doing these for you guys and being able to cover it, which we think, historically speaking, I'm not sure that media necessarily wanted to cover this or talk about it from different perspectives. And that's why we keep doing them. Before we get to the podcast, so I want to thank our friends over at Kershaw Knives. They've got a discount code for you. If you use diesel20 at kershaw.kiausa.com, you get 20% off site wide. So no matter what you're looking for, if it's for EDC or hunting, fishing, anything in between, it's a great way to save some money. So if you're in the market, make sure and take advantage of it. All right, let's get to today's episode with Shelton and getting his thoughts and opinions on what's going on with emissions, EPA enforcement, CARB, deletes, basically everything that's pertaining to what's happening in automotive right now. Shelton, welcome to the Diesel Podcast. I always love talking about emissions and people's thoughts, and it's one of the things I love doing about this podcast. There's a lot of things I really enjoy about it, but one of them is talking with enthusiasts that are out there and then offering our platform for different points of view, different insights that are out there. So whoever's listening, they can, just hear all different sides to it. So I appreciate you reaching out to us, telling us you had some ideas, and I look forward to chatting with you today.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My pleasure. So just to put out there, just my history, my name is Shelton Whitson. I am a semi-retired, if you will, diesel technician. I worked on all light duty diesel platforms, Powerstroke, Cummins, Duramax. We worked on a lot of them, seen a lot of different failures with each of them, because in all reality, no truck is perfect out there. They all have their issues, especially the older the trucks get. You start to see more electrical related issues the older they get. So I am born in Dallas, Texas, is where I'm from. We moved over here to Arizona not too long ago, about 3 years ago. So change of place, different people than Texas. I'm just a good old East Texas boy, if you will, just growing up in small town, East Texas. So we pretty much grew up around diesels, since I can remember. A lot of farmers, that really wanted dependable trucks, out there when they were working them, pulling heavy loads, hay bales, things like that. So you can kind of relate to those types of people. And, a lot of those people in those areas, they didn't have a lot of money. They didn't have money to, invest on, new emission system, or, if something was to fail, then, the way behind that was to, remove the emissions, eliminate the problem, because in all reality, just to speak my honest opinion about it, with emission systems, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when it's going to fail, because you have a lot of different parts. You have, your EGR valve, you have EGR cooler, like 6 liters, the EGR cooler rupture, that's pretty common. You have NOx sensors, you have DEF injector, you have a lot of different parts in an emission system just to simplify everything so everybody understands. But very expensive to repair, and sometimes diagnostic procedures on emission systems can get very in-depth, for that reason. So a lot of working parts, so a lot of things to fail. So simplicity is key in all of that. So pretty much eliminating the problem. You're not gonna be out that kind of expense, in that case. But I partially owned a diesel shop, just to get back to my history, with a good friend of mine. Had about 10 years of experience on his belt. I just graduated from tech school shortly after that, at the age of 19, 20 years old. I'm 25 now. So shortly out of school, I had to learn from the very beginning how to site operate a business. And it was a learning curve for sure. Not many people realize it, but when you open up your own business, or you open up your own shop, there's a lot of stress behind that. When you're opening up a shop, and the biggest hurdle that you have is waiting on parts is one thing. And then another thing is trying to please everybody, which you won't always do, unfortunately, on that. So yeah, there's that. There was a few different things that I wanted to share with emissions related. So in my career, 90% of the failures that we saw, whether it be Cummins, Powerstroke, Duramax, was all emissions related failures, for the most part. Duramaxes, we did a lot of what's the word I'm looking for? Reductant heater in the DEF tank. That was pretty common that we had on Duramaxes, which it's all across the board. And then you have sending unit issues in the DEF tank was another thing, but very expensive to repair. A lot of guys, when they buy these trucks, if they're new, they're still under warranty, so they don't have to, worry about being out of pocket for those kind of expenses. But once you're out of warranty, what do you do after that? And man, I've seen some guys that have had good life out of DPF systems, somewhere within 150, 200,000 miles, somewhere around that range, before they start to have some serious issues. But honestly, man, it varies across the board with every truck. Every truck's different. You could have a DPF issue with it staying clogged within 50,000 miles. It's just one of those things. It's kind of like a CP4 failure. It's not. It varies across truck to truck. You can have somebody that had a original CP4 in the truck with 300,000 miles, and it's still running strong. And you could have a truck that had 40,000 miles and had a CP4 failure under warranty. So it just varies across the board on that. Honestly, guys, if just to be, because the reason I wanted to get on this podcast was, regardless of what's going on with the EPA, I understand that the EPA is not really wanting to go after the end user, the people that are that own personal trucks, they're going down the road. I'm not saying that it may come down to that eventually. If it ever does, unless the EPA has more limitations on what they can control. Honestly, guys, if my truck was out of warranty, and I did not have the means to want to put that stuff back on, then I would not put it back on. Just to be honest on that. Speaking on reliability terms, and a lot of it depends on state regulations. What your state, what they regulate when they do inspections. I know there is some states where you can pass a visual inspection if you just weld in a catalytic converter. And if you eliminate the DPF and you weld in a catalytic converter, you will pass a visual inspection. And a lot of these trucks that are deleted, As long as they're below 40% smoke capacity, which majority of them are, then they will pass a smoke capacity test when they're deleted. The big factor in the smoke capacity test is you really want to run clean tuning for one. You want to stay up with maintenance on your truck, oil change, fuel filter changes, air filter, a lot of your different basic maintenance on your truck. And a lot of these modern trucks, they're not like your old 12-valve Cummins, used to be. They have a lot tighter tolerances and they run a lot more efficiently than, they used to. And a lot of that is behind, EPA. We've had to, manufacturers have had to really improve the efficiency of these trucks so that they don't put out a lot of emissions in that case, because those that are equipped, with a DPF system in place. But taking off the DPF and running a pipe in its place, and you're running clean tuning, staying up to date on all your maintenance on the truck. A lot of these trucks can stay below that 40% opacity, where if you do a smog test, in your state. But it just all depends on your state, regulations, what they require. I know California, they do OBD testing, on their trucks. And a lot of times when they have to look into your ECM to find if you have any tunes loaded on there, sometimes in situations like that, you can flash the truck back to stock, or you can do emissions on tuning during that point in time. That would all be CARB approved, of course. But there's a few ways around it, but a lot of it depends on, your state. I know New Jersey, they're pretty strict right now. I saw a kid on Facebook that the EPA was gonna salvage his truck because of it being deleted there in New Jersey. So that was kind of a sad ordeal on that. I have my viewpoint on that is very very unconstitutional in that sense, to take away somebody's personal belongings like that. And because of the fact that the truck didn't have, it wasn't up to standard, basically. And who knows, the kid might have bought it that way. It's not his fault if that was the case, but EPA didn't care. They were just going to salvage the truck anyway, so he was parting it out just to make some money on it, on that. So
I think one of the really tough parts, because I was thinking back to when, like, 2007 and a half, 2008, and how the trucks changed with the emission systems. And with podcasts I've done more recent, asking shop owners or businesses about the emission systems now and how they're more efficient, I think what you talked about with reliability is really what drove a lot of that market, because it was almost like the standards were too advanced for the technology at the time. And so, if we look at a 2008 6.7 Cummins and how reliable its system was versus, a 2021, 2022, it's entirely different. And, any conversations I've had over the years or things that I've read, I'd say probably 95% of the people were right in that category you talked about with, they just need the truck to run. They can't have it go into fail safe. There's these other things. They weren't building necessarily race trucks with it. But then also, as we transition that into, where things are at now, which are, it's so different than 2008 or 2015 or 2016, is with the Clean Air Act. And I think the way that it's written and what these standards are, it just makes it. It makes it so much more, I'd say, difficult in a way, no matter what state you're in or what it might be, where there's these standards that are there that they're set, and what you can do to your truck is so vastly different. We hear about CARB numbers and testing on a national level, testing in California, that I think the climate of what you can do to a truck is so different. And I know I've done episodes talking with, like, a lawyer, a manufacturer, people are testing. But when it comes down to the actual end user, like, I remember reading that article from, I think it was the Drive magazine, that talked with the guy in New Jersey. And I think it was the state that had said, hey, this is not up to standard. This is what you have to do. And I'm sure that happens, you know, maybe other places, I don't know. But what do you think as far as the way that the Clean Air Act is written and these emission standards are set, having to abide by them as an end user, or as a shop owner? Because it seems like there's just a line in the sand and you have to do this testing to sell this part or have it on your truck. And so I was curious about your thoughts on that side, on that side of I want to call it a debate, but just the conversation that's surrounding emissions and diesel vehicles and everything.
Where do I start? Man, to be honest with you, about the Clean Air Act and you know the EPA's motive to all of a sudden enforce all of these stricter emissions on diesel trucks. I firmly believe there are bigger threats at hand than what we're dealing with right now that the EPA needs to focus on versus taking out the middle class Americans. A lot of us shop owners, that majority of us, I would say, would probably be in the middle class, you know, spectrum, and you know, being sentenced to larger jail times than what a person would have if they smuggled drugs. In that case, it's getting a little bit intense in that nature. In my personal opinion, I honestly don't believe that the EPA cares about pollution or climate change. I think that this is a me personally, from what I've seen, what I've read on different things, I think that a lot of this is a big political money scheme. And it's one of those things where the EPA is going to do what the EPA thinks is best to help benefit the organization and not care about the American people, is how I see it as. Back, I was reading an article back in 2019. The EPA made a statement that they believed in 2019 that drinking water was more of a bigger concern than climate change. So since then, since I would say probably last year or the year before, I would say 2020 wasn't too terrible. I would say 2021 and on now, it's starting to get more, you know, more intense, I would say, from what I've seen. I don't know. I don't understand why it's such a huge enforcement. I think we have a lot greater threats out there than you know, trying to, you know, take out diesel trucks on the road, or you know, take out you know, the diesel industry as a whole. You know, there's a lot of great guys out there in the diesel industry. You know, a lot of super nice guys, and a lot of them have family to feed and a house. And you know, a lot of these guys make a living off of this. And it's really sad to see our country, you know, turn into this way where, you know, it's more of a more so communism, if you will, like you know, in that sense. It's I don't know. It's changed a lot the past few years. It's in it, some of it, honestly. I think, honestly, would say that majority of us guys, enthusiasts, diesel shop owners, I would say a lot of us would disagree with, majority of us would probably disagree with the Democratic Party in their decisions. And because of that, I think that's one of the reasons why the EPA is going after the types of people like us, is, you know, our beliefs that we have, you know, with the industry and, you know, just our political views. I wouldn't say majority of the guys that are in the industry probably even voted for Biden, to be honest with you. But some of it could be that a lot of your a big percentage of people that may own Teslas or Priuses, you know, the eco-friendly type of people, you know, those are the types of people that is going to get the Democratic Party votes, in 2024, when we start the new election. So I think there's a lot of different things involved with this. I think there's a lot of little pieces and parts, and we don't know what all goes on behind closed doors. I think there's a lot more that would be shocking for us to see. Because honestly, you can't trust the government and a lot of different shady things they've done, a long time ago or, past few years. There's not anything that I know about, but there's it, I don't know. It's just a tough subject. I know that there's a lot of missing pieces to this on that.
Whenever we've covered different emissions topics, I always like to follow the comments on YouTube, and some of them are, there's 200 or 300 comments on there, and I like to see the points or the things that people mention, because I'm genuinely curious in the topic, and I like to step back and try to understand all the different sides of it. And so I wanted to pose this question to you, because I read it on our most recent episode last week, and going back into August, or even going back 3 years, is one of the things people will say is, okay, I understand, why people want better performance or why they want better reliability, but because of the law itself, removing these things is technically breaking it. So why should it be a surprise if, a shop or a manufacturer gets a fine, or that the agency that Congress gave the power to enforce the act is enforcing the act? And so I was curious about your thoughts with that as it pertains to the way the Clean Air Act is written, what's set forth with what you can do, can't do, and then what's happened. I know it's not just diesel. I know it also happens in gas. But to somebody who has that perspective, what would you say, or what would your thoughts be as far as that perspective of they're breaking the law, they knew they broke the law, it's being enforced. So, why are they surprised by it?
It's kind of a tough answer on that. I understand you have a lot of different viewpoints on that same question. You would have some guys like me that would be more open to not having those types of issues. If I was a person that let's say I did, gosh, hotshot trucking, just for example. I'm always on the road, always pulling loads, things like that. What if I'm going down the road one day and all of a sudden I get reduced engine power? Let's say I have a sensor fault or EGT sensor fault in the DPF, then that's gonna put me out of business, for the rest of the day or a few days, being on back order parts these days. To answer your question on that, I guess the question you're asking me is in a sense that people are, I guess, shocked by it, is what you're getting at on that.
Yeah, that they seem to be shocked that people are surprised that a shop or a manufacturer got fined when removing the emission systems isn't. It's against the law. And so, not that they're necessarily for emissions or for all driving electric vehicles, but they're just putting forth that position that it's against the law, they broke it, and that's that. And so I was curious of, from your perspective, the different parts of the industry you've worked in, just as somebody really into diesels, what do you think about that position that some may take?
Great question. So, we are talking about the government here. The government can not only investigate the shop in general, but they can also investigate social media. That's a big thing nowadays. And I think social media was one of the reasons why, or one of the factors that came to play as to why the EPA is standing up a lot more these past few years is because of social media in general. People rolling coal on Teslas and things like that. So I think a lot of that was kind of emotive, and I think a lot of people got butthurt about it. Just eco-friendly people, just self-entitled. Finally they said, well, we're gonna do this, this, and this, and here we are. So, as far as shops in general, if they have any sort of evidence, laying in the shop, like some of the other owners that you've had on the podcast, I know if a person's smart, they're not going to leave any evidence behind. If there's DPF systems laying out in the shop, or you have I know a lot of tuning now is on the cloud, so it's a little bit easier to hide in that sense. But there's a few factors to that on that part. But I understand that people are shocked about it. I mean, I have basically spectated in the shadows, and finally I wanted to come out and voice my opinion about it. A lot of the passion that a lot of us can share on diesels in general, a lot of the capabilities that diesels have in general over even gasoline, in that sense. So there's a few factors to that, Patrick. Like I said, there may be somebody that there may have been somebody on social media, for example, that could have commented and tagged that shop in there and said, hey, thanks for the tune and delete, so on and so forth. So the government tracks a lot of those things, and they can search keywords. They can the biggest thing that questions me is sometimes it's random places in the United States, random shops. And that's one of the things that I was trying to figure out is what really got it to that point. Were they a big vendor? Did they sell a lot of delete parts and word just kind of spread like wildfire? Were they a big distributor for delete part companies, things like that? Or of course, the list goes on vendors. There's so many of them that used to be out there. But could it be that? Could it be, they advertised their business, advertised it, didn't think it was such a big deal, and now it is. And then they're just like, oh shit, it's could be one of those things. It varies across the board. Man, there's so much that goes on at a shop day to day. You just forget about those things because you're just so used to the old days. And some of us may, or some people may get carried away that, doing a video of a truck, that just did a delete on, and, doing a pull on it down the road. It's one of those things. I think some of us are still stuck in, the older days where, things were much simpler, and, we basically felt free. You want me to be honest with you. It's definitely changed a lot. In that sense. So maybe you can collaborate more on that.
Yeah, I think on a recent episode, one of the guests had mentioned being able to go on the EPA website and filling out a form if you suspect that there's a delete or violation of the Clean Air Act, or I'm not sure how specific it is. Like, I think this truck is deleted, but I think being able to find it, especially that way, makes it very easy. And I think we're probably not going to have a direction or know what exactly happens with that form. Does it, result in a request for information? Does it, do people show up and want to see what you're selling, what you're installing? We don't know, but it basically creates a way for really a neighbor to say, hey, I think this truck is deleted, or I think the shop deletes it, or I see this black smoke pouring out of, the dyno, or what it might be. So I think that's something that, I don't know how new it is, because I think I remember reading over the years magazines have covered it with social media and how they would, you could easily find stuff. And even now, when I go onto Facebook, I can see, I don't think they're in the US, I think they're in other countries, but they'll market, these things and you see them there. So it's easy to see this stuff. And I just think it kind of changed a little bit, or it made me think, okay, I can go on a website and fill out a form if I think this vehicle doesn't have its emissions present.
Right, exactly. It's one of those things. Corey Willis posted it on his page, and that's actually where I found it. I just stumbled across my news feed on Facebook a few days ago, and I saw that the EPA was now releasing forms that people could use to submit claims to those that were against the Clean Air Act, if you will. So to give a local citizen that power of authority, I don't think that's right. I don't. I think some people could really exercise that power in general, because, like I said on Corey's post, I said that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what state you live in. There will always be those types of eco-friendly, entitled people out there. And it could even be just an old man driving down the road, just minding his own business. Who knows? He might have had the truck deleted for 5 years, and it's just been a good truck to him. And you have somebody that's, let's say he's pulling a trailer. He's got a load on that truck. Well, if you got a load on that truck, it's going to puff a little bit of smoke, usually, if it's got a load on it. And somebody behind him files a claim, and that guy, that old man, does prison time or pays fines on top of that. So I think, depending on the circumstance, I don't think it's the right thing to give local citizens that kind of power of authority. I think that a lot of people could exercise that, which I would think, I mean, I don't know, based on what the EPA has done, the past year, how they've handled things, especially with the sentencing with, current shop owners. I think it's ridiculous. But I would think that the EPA would at least review those claims before dismissing charges or putting charges on somebody, if you had a local resident or local citizen that was just trying to exercise that authority. Maybe they had a bad day, or maybe they don't like diesels, or there's a lot of different things that come to play on that. And it just doesn't make sense, because these days we really have a lot of arrogance, and we have a lot of entitlement. You see that a lot on Facebook. You see that a lot, truck forums, things like that. So the way that with social media nowadays, the way that the society has evolved as a whole, and because of that fact, I don't think it's right to give our society, that power of authority on that. So that's kind of my take on it. To put somebody's life in their hands, no matter how much time they did or how much fines, they could go bankrupt. But not everybody's got that kind of money, or majority don't, I would say. So that's kind of my take on it.
One of the recent comments I saw on one of our emissions episodes is somebody had said, and I thought it'd be great to ask you, and I'd like to talk about it too on air a little bit. I'll clean up the language a little bit the person used, but they said, "Why do you guys always talk about what we can't do with our trucks, and not what we can do? Why don't you take a stand with the podcast or the show?" And I thought that was really
Gotcha.
interesting, because I relate this back to the episodes I've done with Corey and the talks,
Right.
that we had on them. Is personally, I don't think a lot of this was talked about. Going way back to 2012, 2013, it would be known, but I think automotive media, in a way, didn't want to cover it. I don't
Right.
think it worked to cover it, and
Right.
really, our goal with these isn't to say what you can't do or be negative. It's to say this is what's really going on, and this is why we're going to have different parts of the industry to talk about it, so that you know what's taking place. Like a lot of these episodes, when a shop owner comes to me or somebody says, "I want to do this episode," I always learn something from it.
Right.
I didn't know how the raids went. I don't know how the sentencing went. I don't know what the fines were. I don't know, how it changed where they could live, you know, having house arrest for 6 months, seven-figure fines. I didn't know any of this stuff. So if I'm working in this industry covering it, like from a media perspective, is a truck owner out there, a Duramax enthusiast, a Cummins enthusiast, a Powerstroke owner, are they going to know this? So that's why we
Yeah,
like to cover it.
exactly.
That's why I thought, you know, chatting with you today would be really helpful because you have, you know, a unique perspective on it, and I know you're passionate about it, and that's what we want to talk about. It's just, I think we all understand there's a problem with the trucks and the emission systems as far as, you know, when you bought a diesel. And this is kind of a generalization, but I think at heart every diesel owner feels this way. You want it to go 500,000 miles, 750, or you hear
You
about those
do,
million miles diesel,
or
those million
longer.
mile, yeah, or longer. You want that to be kind of your forever truck, your retirement truck, and that's why you didn't buy the gas version. And then now you have this system on it where, you know, I remember in the early days, sometimes, you know, there'd be sensors that would go out or EGR would clog up all before like 5 or 10,000 miles. And it's just this really complex, it's this really complex topic because, you know, I understand all those parts of it, but the thing that Corey did really well on our episode is talking about how we have to get involved, chatting with the representatives. And I know I've seen comments about that is, okay, is that really going to fix it? Well, the way the Clean Air Act is presented, it's very clear. The emissions lawyer we had on was very clear about it, how it stands. And it's, I don't think as enthusiasts we necessarily got that involved in the automotive, you know, legislation or the processes, or I know the RPM Act has kind of picked up steam, but I mean, these are all crucial things that if you're an enthusiast of anything with an internal combustion engine, we should try to educate ourselves, talk about, have a dialogue with.
Exactly. And I honestly I know why you have people that comment on there is it's that same fact that you said is buying a diesel truck nowadays is a huge investment. Diesels are very expensive. I'm sure that you could buy back in the mid thousands, the when the 6.0s came out, first came out. I imagine brand new off the line, probably 32, 35,000 or 40,000, depending on your trim level. Now you're at 90, 100,000 plus for like if you bought a Platinum Ford or Denali. GMC, Duramax, you're going 90, 100,000 or more, for trucks. And I understand it. Me personally, I do not like emissions. We've seen so many failures of them. I do think that, I do think that there's some people out there that have had good luck with it, but a lot of the some people they haven't had any issues, or some people have had issues, premature issues, even out of warranty. Like I said before, it's a very expensive procedure, doing diagnostics on emission system, finding out what the culprit was, because you have so many sensors. Just to simplify everything on the podcast so that everybody understands. Very expensive. And I wouldn't, if it was up to me, I wouldn't want somebody to have to pay that kind of extra expense when they've already invested $90,000 to $100,000 into a truck. I just wouldn't do that.
Now, I didn't think of asking you this question before the podcast, but I thought, I just thought of it right now. Is do you think that there is, if I step back for a second and I say, okay, could there be no emissions on diesel trucks? Probably not, because every, you know, gas vehicles have it. And what, if anything, do you think, say, an entity like the EPA or even a state agency that's like that could accommodate or understand or put forth that kind of meet in the middle, I guess you could say, װ װ װװװװװװװװװװװװװװװװװװװװװװװװװװװװװװ================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================װ================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================
Right.
Is there a way to step back and say what kind of technology is out there? What is realistic for these millions of vehicles to be able to hit? Versus, and this is just my opinion, my perspective, is it's kind of like there's a goal set forward, and then the big three are scrambling to meet it. They can meet it, and then the trucks are out there, and then owners are kind of beta testing the technology and the software.
I think there's a lot. I mean, Lenny Reed, for example, at DDP, a lot of the things that they've done with injectors, in general, the nozzles on injectors, I think that's one advancement, to where we can make diesels, a lot more efficient, in that sense. Vinny was mentioning, water methanol injection. I think I've seen one truck in my career that had water methanol injections. It's kind of a mess to set up, but it does. I mean, it does make those engines clean, like super clean, with water methanol. So, but I don't think majority of consumers out there would like to add stuff to their trucks like they do with DEF. So it's more the aspect of, maybe possibly some of these aftermarket companies, getting together with manufacturers and designing something, that, would make it more efficient for, new production trucks. And who knows, maybe eliminate the DPF and, have yourself more of an advanced catalytic converter in its place, that alongside, more efficient combustion, where it's not putting out a lot of pollution, in the atmosphere. I know we have the technology. It's just a matter of testing and, different factors. Have a lot of experts come in, to do a lot of different testing and what they specialize in. And I honestly think that we could find something better than what we have. I really do. And I think a lot of that could get away from the cost of ownership with every other diesel owner out there, if they do have, an emissions related failure, what they expect to spend after that. I think we could really limit the cost on that, at that point.
I think the technology side is what really has me excited when you think back to, older trucks like a 2003 5.9 Cummins or a 96 12 valve or even a 6 liter. Now you look at these brand new trucks and the power they make through the systems and within the emissions framework they have to operate in. I mean, guys used to spend $10,000 to $15,000. You get a built transmission, turbo injector, CP3 upgrade, a tuner, just to hit these, these higher power levels, or mid 500s, something like that, where these guys are doing it with an emissions on, 49 or 50 state legal tune. And thinking about to the, the gas days when, I don't remember the exact power number I guess mentioned, but it was like the Corvette with 210 horsepower or something like that way back when, where now you're 600, 700, 800 horsepower and you have all the emission stuff on. So I get excited thinking about what kind of technology, both with the OEMs and the aftermarket, can happen to maybe there is, you can meet these standards without the DPF or without the EGR being as aggressive or whatever technology is out there. That would really be kind of the sweet spot where I think, truck owner would be happy
And
because it lasts longer. A shop would be happier because they don't have to worry about what part they're selling, who has, the testing number. I think that would really be where it all comes together.
I think it would be too. And I think that, just lost my train of thought. What was I saying? It's that lazy Sunday mind.
Where it all kind of comes together, where maybe there is technology that can allow the changing of the exhaust system or other components and still, meeting some standard.
And like I said, is a lot of these trucks now, they run very efficiently. A lot of the newer diesels do, because they have such tight tolerances, and the manufacturer builds them that way to, coincide with, having a DPF system, because, with the engine burning more efficiently, then, you're able to go that range on the particulate filter before it gets full and you have to do a regen. And you know, that brings up another point with DPFs in general. You're still polluting the air with a DPF. Whenever you do a regen, you know, you're just containing all of that particulate matter, you know, over a period of time, but that particular matter, it's got to come out sooner or another. So, you know, instead of it being diesel exhaust smoke, you know, in the early generation trucks, now it's a mixture of diesel exhaust smoke and chemicals. And, you know, if you ever look inside of a DPF, you know, you have platinum for one, you have fiberglass material. So it's a very, very toxic stuff that you're breathing inside that DPF. So is it better for the environment? I don't think so, in my opinion. I think honestly, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think that's a really big key with this for people who aren't enthusiasts. Not even, you know, a vehicle's just point A to point B is when we think of electric vehicles, and, you know, they can be talked about as, you know, zero emissions vehicles. And I think to myself, well, what about making the metal and the plastic and the batteries and the glass and all the different things that go into that vehicle? We just
all
shifted
the
it. We just moved it from the end user to someplace else. And I think with what you're talking about with the DPF, or just, you know, in general, we're just moving kind of around where's it coming from? You know, obviously the trucks are different. What you see come out of the tailpipe can be different, but it's just, it kind of goes back to that. We're just shifting kind of where it is in some respects.
Right. Right. Yeah. And not to mention, you know, some people that work those trucks that have, you know, DPF equipped trucks, you know, that's a big fire hazard. You know, if you have a truck that's just sitting there in regens, and you catch something on fire, then, you know, that's a concern. I do feel that there's more research that can be done. I don't know what's going to happen towards the end of this year with the EPA. You know, if there's going to be some more limitations or anything of that nature. I guess we'll wait and see on that. It's just kind of a waiting game. But I do think that with the technology we have, I think that we could find a different way to where we reduce the cost to the consumer, people that do buy diesel trucks, you know, because they want them to last. And like I said, it's a huge investment. I mean, it costs basically what a house does, or what a house used to cost, I would say. But it's a very big investment, and you have a lot of guys that don't want to put up with the bullshit, so they take it off in that sense. So I can relate to that. It's very inconvenient if you're using your truck and then you go into limp mode, or you have so many miles to add def. You know, it's not a, for a person that works a truck every day, it's a hindrance, I guess, if you will, is the term I'm looking for. But yeah, that's kind of my thoughts.
I think it's definitely something that needs to stay at the forefront, because I know there's not a ton of EV trucks, but anything I've ever read with towing capacity, range, things like that, it doesn't compare to a Cummins, a Duramax, or a Powerstroke. And a lot of these trucks are driving the economy in one way or another, whether it's a contractor building homes or going to job sites or doing industrial construction, right, or tons of different occupations and services that are out there. They're going to be around for a while. And I think as they get more mileage, things are getting more expensive. I know parts availability, supply chain things, it seems to be no end in sight to it. So, you know, it really needs a solution.
Yeah, I see where you're going there. I mean, there's certain emissions parts that you buy nowadays, and they're on back order. So what does a man do? he has no choice but to take it off and keep that truck moving. So if you got a lot of part supply shortages, then at that point, it's kind of a no-brainer. You know, if I can't get the part, then I have no choice, or I don't have a truck the next day. So putting it into that perspective too, you know, we've experienced a lot of part shortages, you know, since COVID. And I'm really surprised that it's still at this point, you know, because COVID was, you know, 2019, 2020, and it's 2022 now. And, you know, we're still suffering from, you know, part related shortages on that.
Well, I think one of the things that really surprised me was learning how many trucks sit, because it's,
Yeah.
sitting in a shop for 3, 4, 5 months because the shop isn't going, to take parts off. They're gonna, tell the customer, I can't do this. We've got to wait for
Okay.
Ford or, Cummins or GM to get this part in.
Yeah.
And I don't know how often that happens. But I've heard it more than once. And so you're out of a truck for a while. So it's like, it's just a big challenge. But I love talking about this because there's so many different perspectives. And I appreciate you reaching out to, share your opinions and some of the insights and voice your thoughts on it. Because like I said, I see him on YouTube. I see him all the time. And I like to just learn as much as I can, present
Yeah.
it to people. We have a good conversation about it, understand the different, things that are out there. One of the biggest kind of shock moments I had, it was with Corey and the recent episode we did. And when he was talking with somebody from the EPA, they said, "Well, why do you need a 3500 dually?" And I thought that's a major disconnect because there is a
Yeah.
definite need for them. And
Right.
I don't know if I necessarily want to drive one in a major city every day and park it on the sidewalk, but that's not how guys are doing it. They're using it to haul, farm, do construction. There's absolutely a need for that truck. And so I think, more information that we can share, maybe somebody hears this and they, are just
Yeah.
interested in the topic and they go, "Oh, that's why people need a 3/4 ton dually or a 1 ton
Yeah.
dually, or a 3/4 ton truck." I see the purpose that it serves. I see why these guys are talking about this. I see why they're passionate and they're saying, "Hey, this is the issue we're having, with our trucks and our business and our livelihood." It helped to understand it a little bit better.
Right.
Well, I definitely enjoyed chatting with you. I appreciate you reaching out and sharing your thoughts, with me and sitting down, here on a Sunday to chat with
Yeah.
me. And
I wasn't sure if I was supposed to give that out or not.
I do.
Or you can edit that out.
It's helpful. It's why we love doing them. And I know that diesel enthusiasts, when they look out there, they're not going to hear an episode like this or a lot of the other ones we do, because the reason we do this is to talk about trends and news and what's going on, and we have the ultimate freedom to do it because we don't sell parts. I don't have a website to direct people towards and pull them in and then, give them a code or my extension to call me. So we can cover this in all the different facets of it. So that's what was really cool when you reached out to me. And it's like, "Hey, I want to share my thoughts. I just want to talk about what I think, about
Yeah.
what's going on." And so
Just
I
to be
appreciate
honest.
you doing that. If anyone else out there wants to as well, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook. But again, I appreciate your time today, Shelton, and sharing your opinions and talking with us about something we're all passionate about, which is diesel trucks.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Patrick. Thank you for your time.
Don't forget, diesel fans, make sure and head on over to kershaw.kiausa.com. Use code DIESEL20 for 20% off site wide. It's a great way to save some money if you're in the market. You need an EDC knife, something for hunting, fishing, at work, around the house. We appreciate our friends over there offering it exclusively for you guys that listen to the Diesel Podcast. Also want to give a shout out to some of our Patreon supporters, Tyler Lowen at 23 Diesel, also Caleb, all of our Patreon supporters, all of you who are on our Discord, follow us on YouTube, the podcast apps, Instagram, Facebook. We appreciate your support. We love hearing your guys' feedback, your opinions. So if there's an episode you'd like us to do, a guest you'd like to have on, or if you just want to come on the podcast and you want to talk about whatever it might be pertaining to trucks, the industry, news, trends, let us know. You can email us at info@thedieselpodcast.com, or you can find us on Instagram and Facebook there as well, or join our Discord. There's a lot of great builds, a lot of great information. A lot of our guests have, said on their, "Hey, I'd love to talk about my OBS Power Stroke or my Cummins build or my Duramax." So definitely make sure and reach out to us. We'd be more than happy to chat with you. Until next time, keep the shiny side up.